Juan Felipe Herrera is a renowned poet from California. In 2015, he was selected to be the Poet Laureate of the United States. He's the first Latino to be selected for this position. His poems cover topics of identity, bridging gaps in American life, and navigating through an increasingly diverse world. He's speaking on Tuesday as part of Aspen Words' Winter Words series, and he joins me now from his home in California. Thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Oh, it's a great pleasure. Thank you so much. And big hello to Aspen, for sure.
Juan, you are the son of migrant farm workers in California. How did your upbringing influence your writing and the person who you grew up to be?
Well, you know, it's an amazing story. I grew up in those fields in the San Joaquin Valley, Central Valley of California. And my parents, you know, they're kind of, they were farm workers, and they were from early 20th century. And my father was born in 1882. So they brought with them a lot of, a whole other world, a whole other culture, a whole other way of seeing the world, telling me stories and just being quiet also, a lot of silence and a lot of language at the same time. So all that has shaped me.
And in what ways? You mentioned silence, but also language.
Language, yes, a lot of stories, you know. The TV was not available. Stories from their real experiences from the late 1800s and from the early 1900s through the mid-20th century. And they were told in their own, their own voices. So I heard a lot of stories, a lot of beautiful language in the real voices of my parents, you know, their story voice, their personal voice, their memory voices, and in the case of my mother, her performance of those stories.
And were there any stories from your childhood that kind of really pushed you to do something, that kind of said you wanted to write about this later, or maybe things that once you became a writer, you were very, very set on writing about a particular moment or story?
One of the very first stories is my father telling the story of leaving Mexico, Chihuahua, the northern state, and saying, I'm never going to come back. I have to go. I'm a man now, and it's time for me to move on. And actually, I'm going to El Norte. And he did that. He jumped on a train without anything, 14 years old, a laborer. And he worked the land since he was a child. And he got in that train, and he crossed that border. And the train, one of the stops was in Denver, Colorado. And he got off and he began his life as a ranch hand, as a cowboy, and as a railroad worker. And he would say, no, hacía tanto frío que cuando escupía, se convertía en cuadritos de hielo, Juanito. No, it was so cold that when I got to Denver, Colorado, and I jumped out of the train, I spit on the ground, and then it turned into cubes of ice. I think he was just telling, it was that cold.
When you were in college for undergraduate, you were at UCLA. The Chicano movement in California was kind of in full force. How did that affect you as a person? But also, this was kind of the time, it seems, that was when you really started to get into your writing. How did that time period affect you as a person?
Oh, it affected me quite a bit. You know, I was 17. And, you know, that's when you're totally open, completely open to the world. You know, I was coming out of that marginalized set of journeys as a child. They were beautiful journeys. They were very cozy, tight, tiny family, my father, my mother, and myself, and open fields and open skies. And yet it was very, I was outside of everything at the same time. So when I got to UCLA in 1967, I was ready to really, blow open and meet the world and meet everybody and be part of everything. But at UCLA, my family became the Chicano movement, and we had a lot of heart. So that was my kind of a home ground. And from there, I learned from everyone else, and we became one group at large, not just at UCLA, but throughout the nation, the Southwest in particular. And I got up on podiums. It wasn't easy. It sounds easy. I just didn't want to be silent anymore. I had a hard time speaking up. I was afraid to speak, and I had been punished for speaking in Spanish very early on in elementary school. When I was, you know, shut down, I decided to come back up.
And talking about writing and books and speaking as a way to balance out the scales, really, you've talked about poetry as action. Yes. And I kind of want you to explain what you mean by that, because I feel like there's some relation there.
Poetry is action. Well, of course it is. You know, it's taking our thoughts, our imagination, and everything else that makes up who we are. And then we're writing. You know, we're writing. We're pouring out ourselves into writing. Steve Jobs would say it's the instantaneous expression of our true selves. Of course, he was talking about the computer, but writing is the same thing. So that's perhaps the most important action there can be, or activity we can actually be involved in. And then there's the writing aspect of it. You know, we're actually crunching out all this through language and text. And we're moving our body, we're moving our hands, we're moving our mind, and then we're reading it. You know, we're also reading it. And it's not just all those things. It's also we're propelling a set of new ideas, a set of new directions, a set of new a new imagination. You read it out loud. People read it. It gets published and it goes around the world. And if it's on the internet, so you know there's nothing that can be so elastic and so rapid as a poem and a piece of writing. It's small, but it does a lot. You can do a big old blog, but a poem acts quicker because it's shorter and because it goes deeper.
And is that something, that whole mindset and looking at writing that way, is that something that you try to instill in people who might look to you for advice or as a role model maybe?
You know, what I like to present to people is that a poem is not kind of a stale, ancient, stuffy document where, you know, it doesn't really mean anything, and it's really just meant to be in a little cafe and in another time era, that it actually is a very dynamic instrument. Yeah, that's exactly what I like to do, is to give people an insight, if possible, that poetry isn't a sleepy art, that it's actually one of the most dynamic ways to act in society in this century, because it can do so many things and it's so fluid.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Curated from Aspen Public Radio News. I'm Patrick Fort. My guest today is U.S. Poet Laureate Juan Felipe Herrera. He speaks at Aspen Word's Winter Word Series on Tuesday. Juan, last year you were chosen as the U.S. Poet Laureate. Does that change what you do at all? Is there any additional pressure you feel?
Oh, yes. Rob Casper, who I thank a lot, who's a director of the Literature Department and Poetry Center at the Library of Congress, he says, oh, your life is going to change. I go, what? You got to be kidding. I mean, I think I'm all set, Rob, I told him. But he was right. Everything has changed. I have changed. You know, I'm busy all the time now. I'm busy in a very creative way, in a very expansive way. You know, I give a lot of interviews. I meet a lot of people throughout the United States, and students and colleges, universities. And as I meet them, I learn more. As I meet them, I get to see what's really going on and their points of view. And so I get to see all those streams come together. And of course, I'm writing while I'm on trains and planes. I'm writing nonstop all the time. I don't have time to type it, but I'm filling up journals, taking notes, and I'm also noticing the difference between creativity and the incredible destruction that's taking place throughout the world, and the hunger and the refugees and the killings and the bombs. And I say, how can that be possible when we have so much creativity? And sometimes we lose sight of both. We lose sight of the pain and suffering, and we also lose sight of the thousands of people that we have in the United States, millions, that are, you know, that love literature, that love painting, that love art, that love human beings.
Is there anything you've kind of gleaned or learned while you've been out on the road meeting all of these people that's really affected what you're writing or maybe what you think about?
Well, my writing has become more fluid. You know, I love to write very experimental and very experimental styles. I like to really kind of break everything up so it looks like confetti on paper. The language is actually like a giant puzzle. I like that a lot. And now I'm kind of beginning to like something that's very fluid, that anybody can read, not just a confetti language experimental poet, everyone. I'm moving in that direction. The more open, more available, more accessible, because things are going so fast, and there's too much chaos and shock taking place.
Juan, well, I'd like to read a quote from the newspaper La Jornada that was published in June. It says, "I'm the first Latino poet laureate of the United States. I want to help close the gap of understanding and hear our Latino communities in terms of literature and writing. I want our Latino youth to write from the heart, express their sentiments, and permit us to listen to one another." Being the first Latino poet laureate, do you feel you now have the platform to close that gap of understanding that you're talking about and inspire Latino youth?
Well, I hope I have some of that. You know, it's a good place to be in the position that I am because I can speak. A lot of schools call me up, and a lot of community centers call me up, and universities, of course. So it's a great moment to be ready to say something and to address the questions and what's going on with youth. Of course, I want to know. I'm also the listener, and perhaps I'm a bigger listener now than I used to be. Because our youth are going through incredible experiences. You know, we have homeless youth. We have youth who live from house to house. We have youth that don't have any food. And many youth involved in gang activities because that's about the only place they feel they have a family or they can gain respect. So I want to be able to listen to those youth or to youth in general and see how I can at best respond with something they can take home, something they can think about.
Juan Felipe Herrera, the U.S. Poet Laureate, thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Oh, well, thank you. It's been a great pleasure.